Heavenly Father, it is a great privilege that we have health and strength, Lord, to come here. We pray for those who do not have that and cannot be here or cannot be joined to a family of believers, you know, that assemble all over the world, Lord, on this day, on this very special day, Lord, that you have set aside for us to focus on the very purpose of life, Lord, rather than being absorbed by the many distractions we have as we go through life. And so we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to your word. And we especially pray, Lord, that you would enable the one standing here to read and articulate what you have laid on my mind, Lord, earlier, this not only this day, but days before. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering. We pray for Angie Flores, Lord, who just lost her husband this morning after being baptized a week ago. Lord, our hearts are torn, Lord, by just realizing how much suffering, Lord, man has to go through. And we pray that you'll be a great comforter in her presence, Lord, as she is all by herself and really has no family in this country. Lord, we pray that your presence will be a real comfort to her, Lord, as she looks forward into a life of total uncertainty. Lord, we pray that you will be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we move into the next days, Lord, as you have appointed to us, Lord, that we would seek thee out, that we would find purpose in the way we live, in the way we can understand you leading and guiding us and making us more like thee, Lord, each and every day, if we choose to do so. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to do something. I'm inspired by a passage. I'm inspired by a text that we got from Tim, who led us in a Bible study on Wednesday. Tim did an excellent job. He gave us some homework to do on Wednesday. And I want to read the homework because a number of you were not there. So I want to read the text that he gave us. It says there, I sin daily, and Jesus still loves me. It's all washed. And if the Lord doesn't judge me, and it's all forgiven, then no other man or woman can judge me. And that somehow just rang out. I just found that very, very interesting because I heard something on the radio just the day before that was very similar. Also, in case I'm not going to necessarily say where this comes from, but it's a woman that claims to be a Christian who penned or said this. Verse there. But I heard from another woman, a Christian songwriter, singer, who said something very similar, that we are essentially all washed. Nobody can judge us. And then I think it was her husband made the final reference that only evangelicals do that. They're judgmental. And so I was kind of really wondering about what do I know about judging? I'm committing that sin of judging other people. Not face to face necessarily, but in my mind, I judge other people, which can be a sin. It can be a sin when we judge each other. And so I was looking through all the references, you know, put it into the iPad and judging, and you get hundreds of references in the entire scripture. And I read many of them, and as I read, I got more confused, I have to admit, because it's not that simple as we think. Because there are references in scripture that tell us that we need to judge. And so if we just take verses out, that too should be judged. If we have a sermon or we study the scripture and just use one verse and then use that verse to judge others, now we're in trouble. And so I'll just give you an example. In John chapter 12, I'm going to read one verse. John chapter 12, verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Yeah, if we just stop there. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. God, Jesus does not judge us for not believing him. So we're all free and we're all set to go. Then we read the next verses. He that rejected me and received not my words hath one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. One verse later, it explains it to us that we will be judged. Well, in this particular case, in this particular verse, it's talking about the last day, meaning the end of time. We will be judged by the judge. And who is the judge? Oh, we think it was God. So many think it's God that's going to judge us. But we have Jesus as our attorney, as our the one who's going to speak for us. No. In I think it's in John chapter 5. It makes it clear that God is not going to judge us. It's Jesus Christ that is going to judge you and me. And so we better believe what he says in its entirety of his word, because he is the one who's going to judge us. In John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. He is the judge. So my task, your task, is to really know what Jesus teaches us how to live. It's not good enough just to believe that he is the Savior, that he went to the cross for my sins and it's all done. That's true. He did go on a cross to take away my sins and your sins, so that from now on, from that point on, we can actually now look into his word and study it and try to apply it. Are we going to be perfect? We talked about that on Wednesday. We're not going to be perfect, but that's not the point. It's the goal is to keep walking in the path of applying the word to our lives. And again, going back to the idea of people nowadays, they think, well, you know, I can't be judged, like this lady living an immoral life, but she claims she's a Christian. But since the Lord, if she says, it's all washed, and if the Lord doesn't judge me, but we can read it differently, it's all washed, and if the Lord doesn't judge me. But the if is interesting that she puts that in there. The Lord will judge us. Jesus Christ will judge us. He judged people before. Didn't he judge the people before Noah? Go back into Genesis. where to start, but well, in verse 5 in chapter 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Kind of describes quite a big part of our society today. And he repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, that was many, many years ago. And we realize God does judge. And not only at the end of time, he judges even right now. And then we just go a few pages further in Genesis 18, and it's about Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm not going to go, we all know the story, I'm not going to read too much there, but just the last two verses there of chapter 18. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. That's God speaking, probably Jesus speaking to Abraham, says, if there are 10, just 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will not destroy it. And then the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abram, and Abram returned unto his place. And that was the end of Sodom and Gomorrah. Total judgment. Why? You can read the first next verses in Genesis 19, and it tells us, and we all know it, what this is all about, what Sodom and Gomorrah was all about. We read the next few verses when the angels went there, what the man tried to do with them. And we have this candidate, this presidential candidate who wants to become president of the United States, who got married last year to a man, and he wants to be president of the United States, and he claims to be a Christian. Now, he's a progressive Christian. It's different from just being a Christian. Progressive Christians means they have to take out those pages we just read. They have to take it out of the scripture. Actually, they have to take Romans 1 out. They have to take a whole bunch of pages out of this book, because you cannot be a progressive Christian and keep those pages in there, because they clearly tell you you're wrong in what you're stating, what your beliefs are. But that's where we are today. I find it amazing that people can claim things that are so obviously wrong compared to the Word of God. And you can just read one verse and you can make a theology out of it. But what about reading the whole thing? What about reading the entire scripture? And I think what the scripture tells me, I have to look at myself. We all have to look at ourselves, and we have to judge ourselves, really, because we probably fall into that same category in some ways every so often by judging others. And the word makes it clear, that the New Testament makes it very clear, we're not supposed to judge each other on the basis of what we just observe or whatever. It can only be done in a context of an entire life. And that's why the church has the obligation to judge individuals in the church, members of the church. That's how the church can maintain itself in a way that is righteous before God. The church can do that, not an individual. I cannot judge any brother or sister, and I cannot judge anybody else, really, because I really don't know the circumstances. But as a church, we need to abide by the word. And it can't go into very small details, but we have the Ten Commandments. We have to live by that. And if people don't want to go by the Ten Commandments, well, that's the very minimal that we have to live by. If we don't want to live by the Ten Commandments, we obviously need to be corrected, or we're going to be like it says here in verse 48, he that rejected me and received not my words hath one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge me in the last day. Jesus' words, in this particular case, it's read in my Bible, but it's not just what Jesus wrote. The Apostle Paul writes much of the New Testament, and he heard Jesus Christ dictating him to what he had to write. It's not that he made this up. I forgot now where, in what book it is, in what letter it is, but he makes a reference that he heard, I think it's Corinthians 11, that God told him to give this commandment. And so we have not only the New Testament, the Old Testament as well, because that's where the Ten Commandments are, gives us the instructions of how to live. And it's not up to me to make a judgment of what applies to you and to somebody else. It's right there. In our society today has this tendency to just apply a part of it, claiming they're Christians, claiming they're whatever, progressive Christians. There's actually the gentleman that runs for president, he's from, he joined what he calls the Progressive Church. It's a major, major denomination. I'm not going to mention the name. They're progressive. They leave out a whole bunch of sections out of the book here. Otherwise, they couldn't possibly say what they say. I don't know how they can read the book without getting into trouble with themselves. And yet we live in this time and age, we live in this world where all of this is just rampant. And if we're not careful, we're gonna fall by the rhetoric that is coming from media, from everywhere. We're gonna fall if you're not careful to really look at ourselves, to judge ourselves and help each other, not in a judgmental way, help each other to see how do we live? How do we interact with others? How do we live our lives as examples to the rest of the world that is around us? I want to find another passage in Corinthians, which I found very interesting. As I said, I went through all the things about judging and judgments in Scripture. There's hundreds of them, and I just came across a few that were just very, very interesting. Again, I'm going to read one verse. Verse 3 in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Isn't that amazing? I'm still chewing at that one. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Do I feel like I can judge angels? I really don't. I don't feel I'm in a position to do that, but yet the apostle says that's what we're going to do. We're going to judge angels. If we continue to be the followers of Jesus Christ, if we continue, we're going to be judging angels. And he says, how much more things that pertain to his life. Of course, he's talking in this chapter, in the beginning of this chapter, he's talking about Christians taking other fellow believers to court, suing each other for things which, well, happens very close to us, where Christians take each other to court And he said, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? That's how he begins this chapter. Know ye not that we shall judge angels, and how much more things that pertain to this life? What he says that we as Christians can judge things that pertain to the spiritual life. We can do that together, not me personally, somebody else, but as a whole, as a church, we can judge, and we must judge, but we don't go to unbelievers to do that. We don't go to court to do that. At least that's the warning he gives them to apparently that's what they did in Corinth, and it has been done not too long ago in our circles. It should not be done. We don't go to court where most likely the judges came from a university that was teaching anything but what the scripture says. And so I was just amazed that we have this passage that tells us that we're gonna judge angels. Meaning that if we're gonna judge angels, we definitely must judge ourselves and in collective each other. Are we actually walking the right journey? Are we on the right path? I think we continually have to look at that, because as the world moves in every more twisting ways, we better watch out that we don't follow it, that we don't get trapped into the constant drum and the constant noise that comes from the media and everywhere, or whatever we read, so that we would not follow all of a sudden the same thing that they're telling us, because by and by we may actually believe what they're saying. Should we just close our ears and you know, shut off our televisions? Maybe what the Amish are doing is pretty good. But then we can't be really much of a light in the world if we, you know, go out in the countryside and just isolate ourselves. I don't think that's really the solution. But we need to be very careful in how we allow the world to kind of influence me, myself, as I look what's going on, and I need to know where I'm going, and I can't do that really very well myself, other than I have this book. I have this word that allows me to understand where I'm going, what I'm doing. Is it right or wrong? And I need help from you to give me insight where I potentially don't understand exactly where I'm going wrong. And maybe we are too timid with one another for not speaking out and holding us accountable to what the Lord really wants us to do. I have other points that I found which are interesting. Again, in Corinthians has many of those instructions. In 2 Corinthians 2:15, but he that is spiritual judged all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, if you just take this verse, it almost sounds like this lady who said, well, I can't be judged because God doesn't judge me, so no man, no woman can judge me. But he that is spiritual judged all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. But then we have to read the next verse. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, if we have the mind of Christ, we know that where we are, and we know that we can be judged by the Lord, and we have to walk by that standard. And do others judge me? Yeah, they do, and that's fine. I think that's what this scripture tells us. It's fine to be judged by others that don't have the mind of Christ. It's fine. We should. Well, I'm not very good at that, but we should not be, intimidated by that when others judge us in some ways that make us look maybe foolish or whatever. But we have, for those who have the mind of Christ, we know where God wants to lead us and what He needs to do yet in our lives until we are ready to meet Him. And I think it's so good to know that we are continually in the presence of the judge of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. He's continually with us. He is judging us all the time. Not in terms of, doing bad things in our lives so that we get punished in this life. It has nothing to do with punishment. It has something to do with showing, revealing to us where we need to make improvements in the way we walk, in the way we go forward, in how we interact with our neighbors, not necessarily neighbors where we live, but with everyone that we come in contact with, that is, very crucial in how we represent Jesus to the rest of the world, so that we can glorify God in the way we live, in the way we walk this journey with Him. And again, I think it was chapter 6 in Romans. It's a very, very difficult chapter, really, but the two brothers that led us through this did a great job making this more clear to us, what the apostle is saying there, that we need to be very careful, in how we represent his gospel to the rest of the around us. It's so important. There's other references I had in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 4. But with me, it is a very small thing, the Apostle Paul speaking here. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. It's interesting. If we just stop there, he's not going to judge himself. It's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, meaning the Corinthians judging him. We don't know exactly what he's referring to there, but they obviously had some of the believers in Corinth had some problems with the Apostle Paul. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judged me is the Lord. And that's really, it's so comforting to know that it's the Lord that ultimately is going to judge us, not necessarily at the end of time, but even in the here and the now. He's going to judge us. And if we keep this in mind, as we go through next week, through the next days, if this will be just totally in my mind all the time, that God is judging me on every single step I do, that really would help me a lot to go through life and making the right decisions, knowing that He is there constantly judging me ongoing, moment by moment. And the Apostle Paul here says, he can walk by that by himself. Nobody can judge him. He himself cannot even judge himself, and that's true. We cannot really judge ourselves very well. We need help. God needs to reveal that to us. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Again, a verse, it's a comforting verse. Let's not judge things that we don't know, that we don't really have a solid understanding what this book says. This book, unless we take it out of context, really can give us a measure of judgment, so we know where we go through this world, the left and the right, where the path is. We know that if we are honestly interpreting the scripture, and we're not going to be judged until the very end, until before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring light to hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. To me, it's comforting to know that, you know, sometimes we are misunderstood. Sometimes we try to do something that we think is right, and it comes out wrong. But God will be the judge at the end of time. And it's so comforting to know that. That I would like to close.